we have little love for the city, we cannot deny the fact that our future as a people lies in the city.
It's a big place, but it's also a lonely place. I don't think anybody cares what happens to you. I mean, you could drop dead in the street, nobody'd help you, or pick you up, or at least cover you. I mean, it's a cold city.
Hello, welcome. I want to talk in this video on the issue of male disposability, the expectations placed on men, and also look into the psychology of men who have sacrificed their lives, and also the psychology of a society that condones and encourages this disposability. A few years ago, a man named Austin Hemmings was stabbed to death in my hometown. I was living overseas at the time, but the story resonated with me, so I followed it very closely. So Austin Hemmings, he was a family man. You know, he had a few children, he had a wife, and just worked a 9-to-5 job. He was about 160 pounds soaking wet. He'd never been in a fight in his life. And he intervened on behalf of a woman who was arguing with another man. He'd never met this woman before, but he was simply going home after a day at the office, and this woman called to him, asking for his assistance. And the other man, he wasn't being physical with her, but he was displaying a good deal of anger, and he's being confrontational. But Austin stepped between them both. He asked, "What's going on here?" The other man replied, he said, "None of your business, go away." And Austin replied, "I'm sorry, I can't do that." And they began to argue. And after about a minute, the man pulled out a knife. And Austin turned to the woman beside him and said, "Run." And she ran to the elevator and finally managed to get away. But the man took the knife and stabbed Austin to death. He stabbed him through the chest. His lung was punctured and he died choking on his own blood. It was a very brutal death. And the man that stabbed him had, he'd recently been released from an Australian jail for stabbing his ex-girlfriend to death in the same manner. He'd stabbed her through the throat and through the chest repeatedly. That sentence was reduced to manslaughter, and he'd been deported back to his home country. This was just a few months before this happened. And he'd also stabbed numerous other people during the years and served time for those offences. So he had a very long history of repeated serious assaults and murders. A point of fact, he should never have been allowed back out on the street. He was a menace. But the thing is that no one I speak to in my hometown has any idea who Austin Hemmings is. Now, he was stabbed to death. He died in a pool of his own blood on a city street, defending a woman he never met. Now, he made the ultimate sacrifice, and his children are now without a father. But no one blinked an eye. His family was given a Medal of Bravery in his honour, so his death was recognised. But his name is lost on the general public. And I'd actually met Austin a few years before through mutual friends. I'd only spoken to him very briefly, but he was just one of those people, and you could tell. He didn't have a bad bone in his body. He was very intelligent, he was very articulate, obviously loved his family. He was just a good man. But I look at the messages we receive in society, and it seems everything is geared toward feeding a culture of female entitlement, at the same time pushing a culture of male shaming and stereotypes. Whenever something is reported in the media, the question is never, how will men be affected by this? Or how will men become more empowered as a result of this? Now, those questions are never extended to men, but they're always the first question asked in regards to females. And it's an interesting hypocrisy. Now, on the one hand, women are the helpless victims with the minds of children. And on the other hand, they're royalty, entitled to privileges at the expense of men. And the media and the government feed this hypocrisy, ensuring the negative stereotypes of males are kept alive and well. I mean, but if you honestly look at it, male disposability has served us very well in the past. But with the advent of technology, there's no need. No need for men to be dying at the rates they're dying today. And a man, he's under no obligation to further the species. He's under no obligation to sacrifice his life simply because of his anatomy. And, contrary to what a lot of people do say, there's no such thing as a natural male biological drive to be disposable. It's socially induced. Because I don't believe there's any man who wants to die unless he's suicidal. Who wants to work in unsafe conditions where he could be maimed or killed at any moment. And the mentality of a man that does would be one that has been socially conditioned to view his life as worthless, or that his death would serve a higher purpose. And of course, women and the government and private corporations, they expect this of men. And male disposability is par for the course, so when a man chooses not to adhere to it, he's a coward, or not a viable candidate for mate selection, or for employment. But women have equality. But it's equality without the expectation of responsibility. And there's no reciprocation on the part of women to male sacrifice. Concepts like love, devotion, being supportive, they're concepts that women really adhere to. And women feel entitled to act with condescension and indifference towards men. And it's encouraged by the media. So much so that women equate this indifference and entitlement with female empowerment. And honestly, if there was any form of social contract between men and women, that contract is now null and void. Women have broken and manipulated that contract in order to empower themselves and marginalize men. But if you think about it, men's sense of morality and a woman's sense are two entirely different beasts. Feminism has eroded the concept of male chivalry to where a woman can never be held accountable. All her actions are excused. And where male sacrifice only benefits a system that oppresses men, while women, the government, and private enterprise, they reap the rewards. Because men need to ask themselves, where's the payoff? Why would any man wish to be a slave to women who care nothing for him? Who are propped up by a government that sees your contributions as nothing less than that of a disposable utility? I mean, really, ask yourself, are women of today worth it? Because when one party walks away from the table, men have to do the same. Else, what are you? And if men are waiting for women to repay their chivalry, sorry to say, but they're shit out of luck, because it ain't happening. So men, they need to define male value through a new gender identity, one that isn't defined by women, and that isn't adhered to out of fear of shaming. A man who defines himself as a complete man, he's a free man, and anything short of this is servitude. And that change in consciousness is essential for there to be any societal change. I mean, political reforms mean nothing without first a widespread shift in perception. And chivalry is male disposability. And really, I mean, what's the equivalent for women? Where's their sense of protection for men? There is none. And they have Big Daddy government to look out for them. So the message loud and clear for women is that they're prized and men are expendable. And in today's society, there's no logical basis for that belief. The chivalry is a man on a string, with women and the government as the puppet masters. And I mean, you hear the arguments. Women are not as physically strong as men, so men should be the first to risk their lives to protect women. Well, Austin Hemmings was 160 pounds soaking wet. and he knew from the rage that that man with the knife was exhibiting, and from his physical size, that there was no way he could win in a fight. Yet he intervened without hesitation. So, physical size wasn't an issue in this case. But I mean, the vast majority of women would never do this for a man. They've been conditioned not to. So, I mean, what's the message that men hear? You know, men have been indoctrinated to not value their own life, and to see it essentially as secondary to the immediate needs of a female. You know, that a real man sacrifices himself for a woman, regardless of who that woman is, or what she's done, or how she views him. Now, he sees himself as less than a female. Yeah, and in turn, I mean, men are expected to take care of everyone and themselves. And a man who doesn't isn't a real man, and of course, in turn, isn't worthy of help himself. So it's an endless cycle. But really, honestly, I mean, who wants to see a man suffer? You know, not that it would upset people, but rather I think that they'd find themselves not wanting to accept it exists. You know, they'll just avert their eyes. So there's a definite benchmark for men. And those who don't embrace the stereotypes and prostrate before women, they're not seen as viable men. You know, they're fed the same messages. They won't get laid. They won't get married. They won't father children. They'll die alone. Chivalry is social control. And Austin, I mean, he sacrificed his life. Yeah, because of social conditioning, he didn't even hesitate. But if we reverse genders and a woman had sacrificed her life for him, that woman would make headlines all over the world. And I'd also imagine the question on everyone's lips would be why? Why did she sacrifice her life for a man? I mean, male disposability, it's enforced by social conditioning. And it thrives solely on the basis that male suffering is not important. So we're conditioned not to care. So really, what is a man's value? Ultimately, it's his disposability. It's his willingness to forgo his rights as a human being. But true male empowerment is the rejection of this expectation. And we've been fed the lie that male rights was handed to men on a plate. But men's rights have always gone hand in hand with huge responsibilities. And women were given these and more, minus the responsibilities. I mean, feminists and politicians and the media, they skew this obvious fact by stating that male disposability is actually a sign of male privilege. That men who work dangerous jobs, privileged. You know, men who die on the battlefield, or men who work stressful jobs and never see their children, they're privileged. You know, the list goes on. And because most CEOs are not women, women are somehow being oppressed. You know, of course, that's without taking into account the sacrifices that come with that position. You know, or that female firefighters are the minority, rather than accepting the fact that women don't want to sacrifice their lives, you know, running into a burning building. So really, feminists only scratch the surface, because if they dig any deeper, male disposability will become readily apparent. So the signpost for women is always oppression and victim status, never truth. Society thrives on male disposability. And women have options that men don't. You know, there's no expectation for a woman to lay her life on the line for a paycheck. There's subsidies in place for women, and if married, that woman has the option of part-time work, if she decides to work at all. And in the advent of divorce, well, you know the outcome. And yes, I mean, a man is entitled to work any job that he pleases. Yet that choice needs to be made consciously, rather than as a result of social conditioning, or shaming, or indoctrination. And there's no acknowledgement of male sacrifice in society. Yeah, past that of nameless statistics or empty medals. But what's focused on instead are male stereotypes and feminist propaganda. See, women are apparently oppressed if they're housewives. But somehow it's ludicrous to suggest that a man in a dangerous job, providing for his family, is marginalized. But when you discuss it, I mean, you hear the comments. Patriarchy is damaging to males too. But it's a deflection. Male disposability is only raised in a discussion so it can be swept aside. And blame will always be placed on men. No, he knew the risks, but he still took the job, no. No, men run the government, no, so it's all men's fault, no, sorry. But social conditioning is never factored into it. The lack of viable options for men is never factored into it. And men who die are not only expected to sacrifice their lives, but once they do, they're blamed, or they're denigrated for it. Yeah, no one wants to think about that faceless, nameless utility. And the fact that women get men to do all the work for them, doesn't mean women get to avoid taking an equal share of the responsibility. So this belief that women are innocent, blameless victims in an evil patriarchy is ridiculous. And the fact that women are not outraged, as being portrayed as feeble infants, says a lot about their character. And it makes me laugh that the example used by women in regards to chivalry is always when a man opens a door for a woman. And that's no mistake. What's never used is the 343 firemen who died on 9/11 running into the towers when everyone else was running out. What's never mentioned is men sacrificing their basic human rights when they enter into contractual obligations with women. So feminists, they want women to have all the rights of men, and for men to be burdened with all the responsibility. At the same time ensuring that women have all the privileges and rights men don't have. So I hear it. The question, the question is always, why don't men fight for their rights? That if men wanted to change things, well, they would. Except any man that does give voice to the prejudices that men face, they're attacked by feminists, they're attacked by the media, and by other men especially. His masculinity is questioned, he's deemed weak, he's seen as a beta chump, he's outcast. He's not a viable candidate for employment. You could choke on the hypocrisy. Combined with all the systematic bias and all the media and political propaganda, the truth is distorted. And he who controls the information controls the world. And indoctrination, it's far-reaching. And until the majority side with male rights in terms of perception and social consciousness, then men and boys will continue to be deemed disposable. But in order for that shift to happen, people will have to care about men and boys. So we're all responsible. Anyway, that's all from me today, but thank you for your time. I hope you enjoyed this video, and I will be making more videos moving forward. Thanks again.